Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
How many of you have a chiming clock in your home? Anybody got a chiming clock in your home? I like that. You know what? You need one. It keeps the visitors awake at night so you can sleep well. My wife and I have been privileged for more than 25 years to have a chiming clock in our home. Most of the chimes that are traditionally used in chiming clocks are the Westminster chimes. Tradition says that the words that you see up here are from Handel's symphony, I Know My Redeemer Liveth. I don't know whether it is or not, because I've read some other things that said maybe not so. There are a few different renditions of the words that you have up here. These are the ones that Penny and I have loved for years. And I believe they have a specific significance to the people who understand them. When we first got our clock and we found those words, Penny wrote them out on a piece of paper. And every time the clock chimes, which is at every quarter hour, we would read those words. I want to share those words with you today. Perhaps as a prayer. So if you happen to have a church bulletin, if you picked up one on the way in, on the back side of it, there is a place for sermon notes. I'd like for you to write down these 16 words, because I hope that by the time we're through here today, these 16 words will have a special meaning to you, so that any time you look at them or any time that you hear a chiming clock strike out any of these notes at every quarter hour, I hope that you'll kind of go over them in your mind as a short prayer. That's what we have done for years. It's not just that we memorize the words, but they are a prayer that we get to repeat. Actually, we can do it four times every hour, because it starts with the first four notes on the quarter hour, then it does the eight notes on the half hour and 12 of the notes on the three quarter hour, and then it does them all at the hour. So four times an hour, if you happen to have this in your home, you can run over this prayer in your mind. I want to kind of dissect it a little bit and share some thoughts with you. Let me just start with the simple word Lord. In John chapter 13 and verse 13, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Jesus is teacher and Lord. There is no other imagination that man has been able to come up with and produce in his thinking that is a God, not even man himself, although he's tried to do that. He wants to be in complete control of his own destiny, but he's not. He absolutely is not. There, in fact, there is very little that he can do to control his own destiny. You know, he doesn't even really know that he's going to make it out the front door of his house in the morning when he goes to work. He may die with a heart attack on his front steps. You know, we don't know those things. So we certainly are not God, and we cannot create in our imaginations anyone that is God, because anyone that we create, whether we call him or not, is inferior to us, the ones who created him. So you can't create a God that is superior to yourself. Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord." And that's perfectly right. That's exactly what I am. The second word there says through. And I want you to realize that through means not over, not under, and not around, but through. Through the circumstances of this life. Now, some of those circumstances are really nice. You know, like I said, we had a tremendous celebration Friday. Some of those things are wonderful. Some of those things are not so wonderful. You know, my heart reaches out to Billy and the things that's going on in his dad's life and in the rest of the members of his family. You know, those are tragic things. You and I have faced tragic things in our lives, but how did you manage to get from the time when that tragedy started to the time when that tragedy ended? You didn't go over it. You didn't go around it. You didn't go under it. You had to go through it. In thinking of going through tragic situations, you know, I can think of several right now. I know of two people who have lost their spouses in the last few months. One of them writes on Facebook some wonderful God-centered messages about love for his spouse and love for God that is carrying him through this time. Wonderful. They're wonderful. The other person writes messages of bitterness and anger to people going through basically the same thing, and yet in two different ways. I thought about someone going through things like this, and I thought about the Apostle Paul. Have you read recently 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28? Where Paul speaks about some of the circumstances in his life, it says this: in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. If you're really good at your math, that means he was beaten 5 times, 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep, in water or in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And he didn't mention that as a complaint. He simply stated the facts and said, God was with me through it all. There are some circumstances in life that you just have to go through. You can't get around it. It's going to happen, and it's going to make a difference in your life. And the main thing is, what are you looking for when the situation strikes? There's a short verse that says, It's not the set of the sail. How does it go, honey? Something about the gale. It says, it's the set of the sail that makes a difference in which way a ship goes, a wind-driven ship, when the wind comes. They tell me if you set the sail, you know, just right, you can almost tack right into the face of the wind. I don't know, I'm not a sailor. But what I do know is that what counts is who are you looking at when the trouble comes.
Yeah. All right.
If you're looking at God, that trouble just pushes you closer to Him. If you're not looking at God, it's going to push you away. It's going to push you in the direction you're looking. What does that tell me? Keep your eyes upon God. Easier said than done, right? It is. There have been situations in my life that I have not been pleased with and that I have wanted to complain about. Fortunately, I usually take my complaints to God. And you know what the response is? He usually shows me that that problem is a response to some stupid decision I've made in the past. See? It's not always, but in my case, it usually is. Because I know me. Almost. I think I do. Lord, through this hour, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know what? It's this hour. It's the now that we live in. We can't live in the past. It's done. You can't go back and change it. You can't live in the future because you don't know exactly what it is. You have an idea of what you want it to be, but you don't know what it's going to be. I have a tendency to worry a lot. There are times that I think I agree with the person who says, I know worry helps. Because half the things I worry about never happen.
I know that's right.
So, but in reality, we've only got this moment to live. So what do you do with this moment? You live this moment as best you can for God. You live it for your family. You live it for your relationships. You live it to be the best example that you can possibly be to those who don't know God as their personal Savior. And you do that by showing them something worth having. Your complaints, your worries, and your gripes to them are not worth having. You know that? Nobody wants to hear my gripes. I feel sorry for my wife sometimes because I see something on the news and she gets one of my gripes. I'm glad you all aren't there when I'm listening to the news. But you know what? It doesn't bring a non-Christian any closer to Christ to hear about our gripes and our complaints. What does help them come closer to Christ is when we testify about how good God is, even in the midst of the problems. In fact, guess what? That's when He shines. That's when our testimony shines. It's when we are going through something bad, but we let the world know that we're walking through it with God and we are content in His love, His care, and compassion for us. That's when it makes a difference to those that don't know Him. Anybody can sing in the sunshine. Not everybody knows how to sing in the rain. Lord, through this hour, be Thou our guide. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." We need a guide through this world. And Sigmund Freud is not the best guide we can look at. Neither is a whole lot of other people that you can name. I just named him because everybody knows him. It's the only one I know. Never trusted him anyway. But the only one that we can lean on and have a confidence in, knowing that he is the perfect guide that we need, because he knows all of our yesterdays, he knows all of our tomorrows, and he knows the plans that he has to get us to that tomorrow.
Yes, he does.
There is a verse that I love to remember. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where the Lord says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Future and hope. What do we need in this world, people? We need to know that somebody has got our future, our best ends as their thoughts. They are thinking those thoughts toward us all the time, and they are working out a path for our life that brings us to a fullness of those wonderful thoughts of future and peace and hope that God has for us. He's the guide we need. He's the guide we need because He knows where we've been and where we're going. I can't even remember half of where I've been, much less where I'm going. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." My wife and I love to travel. And with that traveling, we love to plan our trips. For over 19 years, I held a job that took me back to the Midwest, usually twice a year. And in the summer, a lot of times, Penny would go with me. And we would sit down and map out the routes that we were taking. She is a good planner. She would plan the foods that we'd take to eat along the way, which we always took at least twice too much. But I remember one time that another person that we went to the same place with for our job, he said to us one time, he said something about, "You guys just waste an awful lot of time planning." And we said, "No, no, we don't. To us, half of the fun of the trip is planning on how you're going to get there. We just love to do that. It's part of the fun and excitement of going on a trip. But you know what? It doesn't always work out the way we had planned.
I know that's right.
I remember one vacation trip we took. We had a little Datsun, square-backed, kind of a station wagon. You remember those things back in the 70s? We had one of those, and we had a little one-wheel trailer on behind us. Have you seen those where two hitches on the bumper and one wheel on a swivel? You know, and we had that thing loaded down. We had the area in the car loaded down, and all we had room for was the four of us. Okay? Out in Wyoming, in the middle of nowhere, tire goes flat on that trailer. Did not go according to our plans. So we took everything out of the trailer and crowded it into the car, took the trailer and set it up on top of the car, tied it down, and drove that way from western Wyoming to Denver, Colorado. You talk about looking like the Beverly Hillbillies when you pull into town? We did. Plans. As much as we love to make our plans, they don't always go that way. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Lord, through this hour, be thou our guide, so by thy power, Christ's power, not our power. As much as we think we control our lives, we really don't. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." What's that nice little three-letter word in there that means everything? All. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Who do you want for your guide, folks? Do you want some limp piece of spaghetti with that much backbone to be your guide? No, no, no. I want somebody who knows my yesterdays, knows my tomorrow, and has got me enough power to get me where he wants me to be.
Come on now. Preaching good.
Thank you. Say that louder so everybody can hear it. Amen. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. We don't need anything else, church. We need God and what he provides for us. Because he provides for us everything. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." What else do you want? What else can we want? He has given unto us. Get that. He has given unto us. Not that he is holding in reserve for us. Not that we may get someday. But he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we stew and we fret about the situations that develop in our lives. And we wonder, how are we going to get through this? Why did this happen to me? Why is it always happening to me? He has already given unto us all things that pertain to this life. All things that we can need in this life. It may not be as much as you want, but it's what you need.
That's right. Yes, it is.
He has given unto us all things that pertain to life, and on top of all of that, he has thrown in a measure of godliness too. Oh my goodness. What else can we want? He's given us everything we need for this life and a measure of his own godliness too. Oh wow. It almost makes me weak to say it. It's there. It's there. How much, how often do we miss what God has for us because we're too busy stewing and worrying about something that we can't control anyway? He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, I love that. Okay. One more thing that I want you to see here, where it says, no foot shall slide. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Have you heard people say, well, I hope I make it to heaven? I've heard him say that. You know what? Where's their confidence?
Yeah. Come on now.
Where's their confidence? Because this says that God himself shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I've heard people testify, I hope I don't stumble. I hope I don't fall. You know, I hope this goes right. I hope that goes right. I hope everything works. My goodness. We've got the guarantee.
Yes.
We've got the guarantee. You want a guarantee when you buy a car, right? Yeah. You want a guarantee when you buy that most important thing in your house, television. You know? You want a guarantee for everything under the sun. And God has guaranteed you heaven.
Amen. Yes, he has.
Hallelujah.
My. Guaranteed us heaven that no foot shall slide. John 18 and verse 9 says, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none.
That's right.
Not one. You know what? There's only one person in the world that can take you out of the hand of Jesus, and that's you. And you don't do that by accident. You have to do it by a deliberate decision.
That's right.
All we got to do is stay in his hand. And heaven's guaranteed. He says, I have lost none. We have a strong confidence in Jesus' ability to keep us through all. Not some, not a few, but all of life's circumstances. Through riches, through poverty, through death, through physical pain, through emotional upheaval and turmoil, he is able to keep us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And to bring us through, not by the skin of our teeth, but shouting victory all the way, if that's what we choose to do. Would you stand with me? Don't you love the Lord?
Yes.
Do you trust him as much as you love him? I hope so. I hope that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, and that you trust Him just as much. Because He will do what He says He will do. Let's pray. Father, we love You today for being so magnificently wonderful to us. Lord, even the times of trial, the times of testing, the time of loss, the time of great victory and mountaintop experiences, all of those things are designed to lead us in the path of our life that You know that is the best for us and that takes us out of this world someday, whether by rapture or the grave, into the very presence of Almighty God in that wonderful place we call heaven. Father, I just ask You to keep every one of us through this week. Help us, Lord, to come back to the house of God at the appropriate time with rejoicing in our hearts, a song on our lips, and a smile of welcome on our face. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be very blessed this week.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.